You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
I think the best place to start with that would be to question why you wouldn't want to make study more accessible. And I don't think there's a sensible answer to that. I think that making study more accessible simply means that more people are able to access higher education, which would be a good thing for everyone. And so one of the best ways that I can think of to do that would be to make it possible to live while you study, so that studying becomes a viable option for anyone in Aotearoa. And so that's why I think we need a study wage for all, to ensure that anyone who wants to study can study without the financial pressures of having to work, having to borrow, or having to rely on family for support.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just total call the sentiment that we should be actually questioning why normalised student poverty is our status quo. We've led into a state where universities are increasingly becoming, and tertiary education as well, has become increasingly a pathway for the middle class and upper classes. And so we should actually be questioning, you know, why shouldn't this actually be more openly accessible to everyone? And so I think a universal study wage is key to providing that opportunity to students and future students.
What would this look like, making tertiary education more accessible?
Our study wage for all does mean that anyone who wants to study can go and study, has a guaranteed income that is not indebting themselves into the future. And it also means that they don't have to go into study with this kind of predetermined outcome that they need to get this degree to get a job. You can go and study to enrich yourselves and to upskill in the areas that would be meaningful to you and gain the other life skills that come from university. So I think that when we look at a study wage for all, it makes it accessible to anyone for any reason. And that's kind of the key, I think, behind this piece of work.
Definitely. I would also just quickly add that a lot of students are really concerned about how they're going to live in the now, how are they going to make their ends meet day to day. And so this is separate to, say, any efforts to reduce tuition fees or any effort to wipe tuition fees. But we think that one of the largest barriers to students being able to live well and also stay and study is the daily cost of living pressures. And those are the most immediate pressures on students. And so that's why we're campaigning on a study wage for all, which is a weekly payment to students that would support them to live with dignity and actually focus on their studies rather than being stretched so tightly over working to make ends meet and paying rent and then also trying to balance their studies, because we've seen so many students drop out at the moment due to the high cost of living.
What, in your opinion, has changed in the past few decades about being a student that people who haven't studied in a while might not understand?
It depends how far you back you're going with a few decades. But if you go back just a few decades, you get to the point where there were no student loans and you got a bursary to study. And now we've flipped that on its head and there are student loans and you have to borrow to study. And so that's quite a different experience for students, because if you were living on a relatively modest income, but you weren't borrowing from your future self, it didn't, you know, it was okay to kind of have to make those sacrifices because it was free to do that. But now when you're having to borrow from your future self, it's pretty rough to be living in some of the conditions that students are in, which are pretty terrible conditions, while indebting yourself at the same time. It's not very good value for money. But for students, many of them are required to work while study at the moment. We've got the cost of rent is skyrocketing for students compared to a few decades ago. So the conditions that they're in are considerably worse for the costs that they've got. And I think that's why we need to look at something like a study wage for all, to kind of reset the balance on the scales there, to make sure that students are getting what they should be able to get when they're studying, because you shouldn't be expected to work while you're studying. When your courses are up at workload expectations of 48 hours a week, you can't be expected to do 20 hours of work on top of that. That's just unreasonable. And so I think it's that the expectations on students have grown, but the financial supports are not there to match those expectations.
Just on that, I think from memory, it was back when Quinton was talking about those bursaries, I think everyone had access to a relatively universal student allowance back then. I think the access rate was much higher, whereas right now it's only 12% of students in 2023 have access to a student allowance. And so we've seen considerable drop in the amount of people who have got access to sufficient financial support that doesn't require them to indebt themselves. And at the same time, we've seen student enrollments drop from the 2000s until 2023 as well. And so there's a pattern here of higher cost of livings, increasing student poverty, increasing inaccessibility of students being able to access tertiary education and stay in tertiary education. And I think it comes back to how we value education and what role we think education has in our society. And if we think education is a public good and the act of learning is something that's actually inherently valuable, then we need to properly value our students and treat their contribution of studying not as a halfway contribution to finding a job, but something as inherently valuable. It's important for us to have enriched, educated citizens.
What do you think is not working about the current student allowance scheme?
Well, the current student allowance scheme, only 12% of students, I think it is, are actually eligible for the full student allowance. And, you know, broadening on that, only one third of students actually get any form of allowance, and the average amount they get is less than half. So the majority of students are having to borrow to live. And that is incredibly unfair for many students who would be right on that threshold, because this is determined by your parental income. But of course, different families might be in different positions for how they can support their children. And to arbitrarily cap it without any consideration for any other mitigating factors on a family's income is unfair to students. And that's why we need the study wage, so that every student is entitled to the same thing, that they are guaranteed that full living support while they study and don't have to rely on parents, don't have to rely on work, and don't kind of create this hierarchical education system that means students from well-off families can succeed better while they study.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are also other criteria to the current student allowance scheme that we also consider inequitable. For example, postgraduate students can't access student allowances right now either, which is, to be honest, just downright exploitative that they're not able to access student allowance because of their postgraduate status when their financial situations are often similar to undergraduate students. And that creates more inequity as well, because there's an assumption there that postgraduate students are somehow more well off when we consider the fact that we want to see more marginalized perspectives in research and academia, that leaves our marginalized communities a lot worse off in terms of accessing postgraduate study. The age eligibility limits are also another issue, and they don't recognize that poverty can be lifelong, and the fact that people might want to be able to enter tertiary education later in life and still have the opportunity. And also the partner income testing just places unnecessary pressure on relationships and doesn't feel in step with current realities of students.
And if you feel comfortable sharing, what has your experience been like as a student with some of the challenges that universities and students are facing right now?
So part of the reason that I didn't go back and do postgraduate study this year was that I got burnt out last year trying to work and study and balance life on top of everything. And when you see your student loan climbing, but you're still working about 20 hours a week, just to kind of be able to live with more dignity than just trying to rely on the loan, it's just really tiring and it's not fair. And in Dunedin, when I first started university 5 years ago, you used to be able to live within, you know, pretty tight means, but you could live with some comfort on the student loan. But with the increases in food costs and rent in Dunedin in particular, it's not manageable anymore for most students to live with any sense of dignity on the current student loan. And so more people are picking up work and they're tiring themselves out. And so something like this, where I wouldn't see my student loan climbing and where I'd be able to actually study without working and focus on my studies, would have been incredibly beneficial, and I'd be doing a master's degree right now.
And yeah, definitely for myself, my rent last year was $270, and so I had to study part-time and work part-time because my rent was just so expensive, and cost of living with food and stuff as well. So I've had to take time off from studying to just manage myself. But I also know that a lot of other people have had to take on full-time work and full-time study, which is just insane. And I feel like there's a perception that, oh, students just have to tough it out for the time that they're in university. But that's actually not true, because actually the amount of time it takes students to pay their student loans off is much longer than you anticipate. And that's it. That prevents you from your next steps in your life, whether it's postgraduate study or whether it's setting down roots or like wanting to go overseas or anything like that. So it's an experience of burnout, and that's something that, yeah, it isn't good for people, and it means that it takes an impact on the academic performance as well, on their well-being, and it just when we're thinking about the fact that universities and tertiary education are supposed to set students up for the future, it doesn't feel like you're being really well set up.
We saw that members of government like the current Prime Minister Chris Hipkins and Grant Robertson had previously advocated for a universal student allowance. What would your message be to them now?
I really just want to remind them that they were student politicians and that they've campaigned on these things and that student poverty has only got worse since they were in student politics. Grant Robertson held my job 30 years ago, and I'd really like him to just kind of take a step back, reflect, and then also listen to the stories that are coming out from current students, understand the situation that we're in at the moment. He's welcome to come. We'll go for a walk down Castle Street and find his old flat, and he can see the conditions that students are in and why a study wage for all would be so great for so many students in Aotearoa.
Yeah, my message isn't that different. Chris Hipkins was in my role, I think, 21 or 22 years ago. Student poverty has only worsened, and I'd say that they just really need to take courage and just stay true to their roots. We want to see them have integrity and mean what they used to mean before they, you know, enter parliament. And I think now is the time for transformational change with them at the helm. And it's only going to get worse if there's no action. So it really does feel like there aren't any more excuses with them at the helm of our nation. You would really like to see transformative change.
That was Student Association's presidents, Quinton and Jessica, discussing the need for a universal student allowance.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.